Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
And we are live on this Sunday morning. It is the Lord's Day. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Good morning, friends. Happy Sunday. Pro-life leader Frank Pavone here. The Lord is risen. We continue to celebrate the Easter season. Because He is risen, life is victorious. Simple conclusion, simple fact. The power of life is victorious over the power of death. We already have the victory. Now there is still a battle because the victory is unfolding. The victory is spreading. The kingdom is growing, but the kingdom is here. This is this tension in the Christian life, right? That we already have the victory, but we still have to struggle for its full unfolding. So death is real, the struggle against death, struggle against abortion, very real, very intense. But we do this with confidence. Unshakable confidence, unwavering confidence, because Christ is risen. In fact, today I want to sing a psalm, and I'm going to do two things. I want to read two readings, St. John, and the Gospel of John. But I want to sing a psalm in between, which is the Easter psalm. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad, because we have to constantly grow in that spirit of joy and confidence. Today we're going to find out what kind of fruit does the Lord want us to bear. That joy and confidence is some of the fruit He wants us to bear as living branches on the vine. Ready? So you can put prayer intentions in the comments as you like, and let's put ourselves in God's presence. And by the way, I can see your comments, so feel free to say anything else that you like or ask in the comments. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father, this is the day that You have made. We rejoice and are glad as we continue to celebrate the resurrection of Your Son. He is risen. He is alive. Life is victorious. Lord, deepen in us this confidence as we renew our commitment to work each day for the kingdom of life. We make this commitment with a deep awareness of our own sins and with deep repentance for those sins, but with the awareness that You make all things new. We don't have to stay stuck in our sins, and others shouldn't make us stay stuck in our sins. We are risen also. We are risen in Christ. We have His new life in us right now. We have become a new creation by faith and baptism. So strengthen us, Lord, in this mission, and may we bear the fruit for Your kingdom that You call us to bear. We pray through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Reading from the first letter of St. John. Children, let us love not in word or speech, but in deed and truth. Now this is how we shall know that we belong to the truth and reassure our hearts before Him in whatever our hearts condemn. For God is greater than our hearts and knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence in God and receive from Him whatever we ask, because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. And His commandment is this: we should believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He has commanded us. Those who keep His commandments remain in Him and He in them. And the way that we know He remains in us is from the Spirit He gave us. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. Let the house of Israel say, His mercy endures forever. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. God. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. The hand of the Lord has struck with power. His right hand is exalted. I shall not die, but live on you, declaring the works of the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord of love and mercy has brought wonders to our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. A reading from the Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that does, he prunes, so that it bears more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. Remain in me, as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." Apart from me, you can do nothing. Let's start with that takeaway from today's readings. Notice, we often say God is going to help us, right? We're doing our work. God is going to help us. You may be a student. You're studying for an exam, taking the exam. God is going to help you. You're looking for a job. Oh, God is going to help me. Now, it's true. We have to do our part. God doesn't just expect us to sit back and just wait for him to do things. But neither is it true that we can do it on our own power. Anything we do on our own power is itself also his gift. This is important for us to understand. We have our own role to play. We have our own efforts to make. But the very fact that we have those efforts and can make those efforts is God's gift. So ultimately, we can say everything is God's gift. That doesn't lead to passivity. That leads to gratitude and hard work, together with a sense of dependence on him. So when we say, like Jesus says here, without me you can do nothing, it's literally true. In other words, God doesn't help us as if what we were doing we can do by ourselves and then he kind of comes along. Like, that's how we help one another, right? I mean, you could be doing something and you say, "Hey, Father Frank, help me to write this pro-life talk or make this pro-life post or whatever." And it's like, okay, you're already doing something. I come along and add to God doesn't come. God is already there. We wouldn't even want to do anything. We wouldn't even be able to start. We wouldn't even be able to understand what it is we want to do if it weren't for the fact that God was already not just helping us. God helping us sort of gives a little bit of an insufficient notion here. What we should have understand and is the truth is literally, without me, you can do nothing. In fact, without him, we would be nothing. We wouldn't even be here. So we have to be careful when we talk about God helping us. It's like, wait a second. He brought us into existence. He's holding us in existence in every moment. Jesus quite literally means, without me, you can do nothing, nothing, nothing. Okay, second point, he's the true vine. Now, the vine is a very powerful symbol in the scriptures. Let me take you back to Isaiah chapter 5. we see Israel, right? God's chosen people on their chosen land and blessed by him as the people from whom the Messiah came and to whom the gospel was first announced. The main symbol of Israel in the scriptures is a vine. The main symbol. But we see in the Old Testament that combined with this notion of the vine and Israel being the chosen vine that God planted is a sense of disappointment, a sense of it didn't work. The vine didn't bear the right fruit. Look at this passage, for example. In fact, it ends very badly here. Isaiah 5 begins by saying, "Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. He looked for to yield grapes." Well, of course, why else would you plant a vine, right? "He looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard than I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? Now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste, it shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. I will command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. The vineyard of the Lord is the house of Israel." That's a powerful passage. The vineyard of the Lord is the house of Israel, and it didn't work out. Wild grapes. What more could I have done? Remember the parable of surely they will respect my son. They sent the servant. The master went away, sent the servants. They beat them. They killed them. In other words, the prophets, right? God sent the prophets of old, and they punished the prophets and killed the prophets. And, they will respect my son, and then they kill the son. And God says, well, what more could I have done? I sent my very self. So now Jesus comes along and he knows the people to whom he's speaking have these clear images and history in their minds. They know about the vineyard of the Lord is the house of Israel. And they know the stories of disappointment and the wild grapes and so forth. And then Jesus says, "I am the true vine." God was disappointed before. It didn't work out before. Being of the bloodline of Israel, that doesn't guarantee that you're going to bear the fruit God wants you to bear, because so many of them rejected the gospel. I am the true vine. You remain in me and you're going to bear fruit. It's going to work this time. This is what Jesus is saying. We are branches on the vine. So many have been newly baptized at Easter, and we all renewed the vows of our baptism. That's a theme I go back to time and time again, because that's what makes us branches on the vine. Or living stones in the temple, as St. Peter illustrates, or members, parts of the body, as St. Paul teaches. You got Peter, Paul, and John all saying the same thing in these different three powerful metaphors. Two of them living organisms, the human body and the vine, and then one of them the building, but it's living, the living temple. And Jesus said that my body is the temple. Okay. But what's this fruit? By the way, we know what the pruning is, right? What's something to understand about the vines there in Jesus' day, and vineyards were common, popular. And they needed very, very clean soil. But they two kinds of branches grew, those that bore the fruit and those that didn't. The ones that didn't, they had to be cut off right away. And then there was the pruning of the branches, because you don't want the strength of the vine to be dissipated in too many places. And then I remember a friend of mine, in fact, he's one of our Priests for Life executives, it was, I don't remember if it was him or someone close to him, saw their family member had a vineyard, and he saw pruning for the first time, and the child's response to seeing what was done to the vine when it was pruned, said it was astonished. Why did you kill it? God pruning us, as St. Peter says, testing our faith in fire to make it like purest gold, sometimes seems like he's killing us. It's really devastating. It's like, Lord, what are you doing? Job, right? The trials of Job. Friends, don't be surprised. This doesn't mean God has abandoned us. Jesus is saying us to hear what is happening. My Father will prune the vine. That's for us to grow. Now, there were many different types of wood, but the wood from the vine, when it didn't bear fruit and it got pruned, worthless. It was too soft to build anything. You know, wood, you figure, oh, well, you know, you could use it for fire, you could use it for building. Not the wood of the vine. It's good for one thing only, to bear fruit. But you, it's too soft for the normal usages of wood. It's only good to be thrown out into a fire. Like Jesus says it right here. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither, gathered and thrown into a fire and burned. Why? Because it's not, can't be used for building. It can't be used for anything. It's too soft, the wood of the vine. Bear fruit. Now let's look at what Jesus says about, because we want to understand what kind of fruit do we have to bear. You go to Luke chapter 7, the Sermon on the Mount. You got it in Matthew 5. You also got it in Luke 7. A tree and its fruit, verse 43. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay, now we're starting to understand. What's the fruit here? Well, some of it, first of all, is what we say. Got someone always criticizing, complaining, saying negative things about other people. That's bad fruit. Good fruit is going to be affirming speech. And by the way, let me right away bring this to a very fundamental level. Again, those of us who are here, most of us are because we're in the pro-life movement. How we speak about the unborn, or the very fact that so often we don't speak about them. How many times you hear people talking about different groups of human beings who are in need, or people we have to pray for, or people who are subject to violence, or people who are subject to discrimination, and we mention all different categories of people except who? Except the unborn, except the smallest, the youngest, the children in the womb. They don't even, that part of the bad fruit is they don't even mention them at all. This is so distressing to me each and every day. Because people who have good hearts, they're focused on, oh, we have to establish justice, and they mention the poor. And they'll mention child soldiers. And they'll mention victims of abuse and sexual abuse and all kinds of, and then victims of human trafficking. I mean, listen, of course, and we have to be concerned about all these different groups of people. My question is, why do they forget the unborn? A good tree bears good fruit, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If we have someone in our heart, we're going to have them on our lips. Don't you find somebody you love talking about them, right? Of course, it's common human experience. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. For goodness sake, let's awaken our fellow citizens. Speak about the unborn. All right, but let's go further here. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Okay, so now, good speech, yes, but now speech is going to have to be backed up by action. He goes on. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. The flood arose, the stream broke against the house, could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now look, the U.S. bishops wrote a document in 1998 called Living the Gospel of Life, and they said there are many issues that can be considered as forming a house of human dignity and social justice, but we've got a foundation which is at risk, and that foundation is the right to life. Because if people don't believe in the right to life, or if they attack it, how are you going to be concerned about the poor? Well, we want to feed the poor because we don't want them to die, right? But if you take away the right to life, you've undercut your concern for the poor. And so on, for every other issue, the foundation is always the right to life. But then Jesus is talking about the foundation of being in union with him, having his life. And what he says here in Luke's gospel is very similar. If you go on reading from the passage we read here from John's gospel 15, he goes into explaining it more. He says, look, the fruit is love. He says the fruit is that you've got to keep my commandments in practice, like he was just saying in Luke. He says here, love one another as I have loved you. You are my friends if what? You do what I command you. Do. Don't build a house on sand, build it on rock. Do the word. That corresponds to this reading we just had from St. John, right? Here's how we know that we are in union with him and that we love him, that we keep his commandments. Now, let's continue to examine the fruit just a little bit more in a couple of other passages. What's the first fruit here? Faith. It's not only love. We have to love. We have to love one another. But he says, well, we say keep his commandments. What do you mean, Lord, that I shouldn't steal or I shouldn't commit abortion? Yeah. But what's the, look what he says here. This is very interesting because we don't always think of it in these terms. His commandment is we should believe in the name of Christ. It's a commandment. That's why we see elsewhere in Scripture, faith referred to as the obedience of faith. We trust in the Lord. We know who he is, right? So when we hear his word, we believe it. We obey his word, first and foremost, by acknowledging that it's true. This is where you see the rebellion of the other side, whether it's against the baby in the womb being a baby, or whether it's against a man being a man or a woman being a woman. There's an obedience to truth that has to happen here. God has set the world up in his way. He has set the human body. He has set sexuality and marriage according to his plan. It's not up to us to rewrite it or rebel against it. We go on. The other fruit. This is outlined in a couple of places in Scripture. I just want to look at two of them. Galatians chapter 5. But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. These are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. So now, with the help of St. Paul, we're going to distinguish. The branch that bears no fruit and is good for nothing except to be burned up versus the branch that bears much fruit. As Jesus says at the end of that passage in John, I'm sending you forth to bear much fruit. What fruit? Paul tells us. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh, all right, no fruit here, the opposite of the fruit. The works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies. Is this specific enough? Things like these, I warn you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You notice the clarity and the specificity that the word of God requires of us. St. John here, keep his commandments. Believe in the name of his son. St. Paul, keep his commandments. Stop practicing enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, and division. Then he goes on the other side of the coin. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Very specific. No need for ambiguity, no need for this superficial spirituality that just kind of slaps a divine spiritual label on whatever in the world we want to do. That's not Christianity. Hey, everybody's welcome. Hey, God loves you just the way you are. No, Christianity says you got to change. And you got to abandon some very specific activities that are not consistent with faith and love. And you've got to embrace certain other things. You got to bear fruit. Final reference here. What defiles a person? Jesus is speaking in Matthew chapter 15. He called the people to him and said, "Hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person." Remember, there were a lot of laws in the Old Testament about what you could eat, what you could not eat, right? It's not what goes in. It's what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person. And the disciples came to him and said, "Do you know the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" And he answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up." Is again the concept of the vine, right? "Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain the parable to us." And he said, "Whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach as it is expelled. But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart." Again, like we saw before, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus says, "What comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. This defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. These are what defile a person." Maybe it's at your place of work. You have people that are sowing division. People that are trying to get people, go on one team against the other, say bad things about people, complain about people. It's a poison in the workplace. I always warn my own staff about these things. Don't give the devil an entry point. Or in the family. Or in the church community. Let's gossip about these people. Oh, those people. We start to impute bad motives to people when we don't know why in the world they're doing what they're doing. You're supposed to give the best interpretation of people's actions. And some people make it a mission to go around and give the worst interpretations, divide everybody up. Or look at what they're doing that Suzanne is mentioning, prayers for President Trump. We always pray for President Trump. Talk about bearing good fruit and bad fruit. President Trump has borne good fruit more than any other president. And the people who are critical of him and the people who are persecuting him at these ridiculous sham political persecutions and election interference, talk about the opposite of the fruits of the Spirit. It's a litany of like St. Paul and like Jesus himself are giving us here. So it's pretty clear what Jesus is saying to us. And I love this first line of St. John's the reading we had today. One of my favorite translations of this verse is, let us love in deed and in truth and not just talk about it. The fake Christians and the folks on the left who ultimately hate Christianity, oh, they do a good job talking about it. Failed politicians and corrupt politicians like President Biden, oh, they go do a good job talking about it. They'll get up there, they'll quote scripture. He's noticed how he made the sign of the cross the other day when he was giving his big speech about baby killing. Not opposing it, supporting it. But yeah, we got some of the most corrupt people in history right now in these positions of power. Oh, they do a good job talking about it. They're not acting it out. They're not bearing the fruit of the Spirit. So let's rejoice. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us welcome the risen Christ into our lives once again today and say, Lord, let me be a fruitful branch on the vine. A fruitful branch bearing all these fruits of which you have taught us and which you intend to bestow on us. Let's turn to him in prayer. Father, we do ask you, bring the fruit of the Spirit to us this very day. May we rejoice. May we grow. May we bear the fruit of the Spirit. We intercede for one another now. Give us all the graces of which we stand in need. Bring health where there is sickness, guidance where there is doubt. Bring, Lord God, consolation where there is sorrow and gratitude where there is success. Bring us to a fruitful election now in these United States. Protect President Trump and protect all who love America. Bring peace in the world. And Lord God, bring an end to the ongoing violence of abortion. Answer all our prayers. Look kindly on all the prayer intentions that have been placed in the comments, and we sum them all up now in praying as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Well, thanks, friends. Great to be live with you. Great to see your comments. And continue each day joining us. Let other people know about this broadcast. Every day, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, we will bring you the Word of God, the Word of Life, and practical applications of how we live it out. Again, let's love in deed and in truth, and not just talk about it. God bless you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hello, this is Father David Begany. Like many priests, I am inspired and always learning from the Ministry of Priests for Life, which is one of the largest and most visible pro-life organizations in the world. This ministry relies on your financial support to be able to do its work, produce its programs, and travel the world to advocate for the unborn. May I ask you to support Priests for Life generously? Go today to prolifegift.org and give as generous a gift as you can. Thank you so much, and be assured of our daily prayers for you.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.